He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Friday morning, everyone. This is the February 12th edition of Best Stocks Now. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management. Sitting in for Bill today, as usual. We've got him working hard on that, on the newsletter. Looking forward to that this weekend. And as usual, we've got Paul Carlson here this morning, our bond portfolio manager and also investment advisor here at the firm. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Barry. I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. I hope you had a good week.
Good week. Meeting with a lot of great people this week, and helping them with their planning and setting their goals, and so it's been good.
Good, fantastic. Yep. Yeah, it's been busy. Yeah, we've got a new article hot off the presses yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
An article on NIO, it's a Chinese EV firm. A lot of we've talked about it a lot on the show, and certainly. Certainly a name that a lot of our listeners will recognize. So it's in ultra growth and emerging growth. So that's a one we own, obviously, for disclosure
and
purposes.
Speaking of China, happy Chinese New Year.
Yes, I was going to wish you that as well. So apparently, Shanghai, kind of a quiet news day.
Yeah, they're quiet because they're closed.
Yeah, they're closed. Shanghai's closed yesterday, closed today, closed Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, and then back. They'll be back to it on Thursday. So quite a New Year. So year of the ox. So apparently, it's a long one. I never realized that they were actually closed for that long. So.
And I just recently learned that Russia does the same thing. They're closed for a full week to celebrate the New Year.
Really? Well, good. Good for them. Good for them. I was actually when I realized it, I was thinking back, and the only thing that comes to mind, obviously, is 9/11, where New York Stock Exchange was closed. For that, I don't know any other time that we've been closed for 5 days per se. We didn't even lose a day during COVID, right? I mean, we had no one trading on, we had no one actually on the floor, right? Or very reduced crew on the floor, but still didn't miss any days open. So pretty remarkable there. Of course,
they try not to. I believe that there's sort of I don't know if it's a written rule or unwritten rule, but I was always told it was a 3-day. They didn't want to ever be closed for more than 3 days.
Right. Yeah. Well, in terms of banking, right? Three days. You never want the banks closed more than 3 days in a row. I think that could go back before that, but my guess would be back to some of the run on the banks in the late 20s.
In the 29. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so what the best way to keep a run on the bank from happening is just keep your doors closed.
Keep it closed.
Hey, we're still closed for a holiday. So to get, that'll give the Shanghai market a little time to take a breath, I would imagine. But my dad and mentor celebrated a birthday on Wednesday, so hoping to catch up with them soon. They've actually been working hard to get on the. I think we talked about it last week on the vaccine waiting list down there. It looks like some of the bigger news on what's relatively a light news day. Looks like the Biden administration announced another $200 million vaccine purchase contract there. So we'll take a look and see what that looks like going forward. There's some interesting information in terms of how quickly they think our population will actually get to herd immunity and roughly about 75% vaccination rate. So. There's a study that was done on that out of one of the firms. We've got big news, after the close yesterday, Disney earnings. It's pretty much kind of the only big company that's really, yeah, you know, now, you know, initially, right, it would, you know, media company in terms of ESPN's addition in the past was huge, right?
Hulu.
The movie side. But, you know, now it's the, you know, it's streaming, and I thought it was interesting how some of those numbers, how what they thought they would get to, and then how quickly they got to those subscriber levels. So, and then some of the, you know, some of those subscriptions are, you know, essentially given away. So we'll kind of look at, we'll look at some of those, we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. But yeah, that's kind of a, you know, certainly exciting for them. You know, just amazing to have when, you know, they have, you know, a number of their big parks, right? Still closed around the globe, and then also, you know, movie screens closed. So it's just interesting how they've, you know, seemed to quickly pivot, or kind of had things right, you know, either hit it just right, or, you know, what, lucky or good, I'm, you know, one way or the other. It's pretty, you know, pretty remarkable for them. But, you know, in terms of, you know, in terms of the markets, looks like things are pretty flat here. Do you want to give us a moment to give us a rundown kind of, on the globe? Of course, we covered Hong Kong and China closed yesterday. So, if you've got,
yeah,
you got,
you're
some of that
pretty much quiet as well. Yeah. Pretty much across the board, it was, basically unchanged. Australia down about 0.5%. But, across the European Union, didn't see much movement, one way or the other. Although Frankfurt was down 0.5%, but otherwise very quiet. And then here in the U.S., we've got the S&P basically hugging the flat line, 39.15. The Dow's down 43 at 31.387. NASDAQ down 14 points at 14.013. Small cap Russell 2000 down 6 points, 2,279. Or a quarter of 1%. We've got crude oil up a half of a percent. That's up 30 cents the barrel at 58.54. And then we've got gold down $10 the ounce, 18.17. Silver up 12 cents, 27.17.
Still,
the all-important 10-year is rising in yield up to 1.19.
Yeah, that's it kind of threw me off when we had 14 starting 14 with the NASDAQ, so you know, 14,000, I'm not, you know, not used to that. That's a newer level
there
for the NASDAQ. Yeah, so and then the 3900, even 3915 for the S&P. But yeah, the to me, I think we hit it last time too, is the crude oil. You know, it's pushing up 60 a barrel now. I think we, last week we was kind of surprised it was in that, you know, mid 50 range, but still some positive news in terms of the supply and demand for a barrel of oil there. So good for them. Of course, that's you know, some of that's going to, you know, kind of ties into the Biden announcement deal for the 200 million new doses of COVID-19 vaccine. That's going to be, you know, stimulus and
hopes,
you know,
for kind of, reopening.
Yeah, yeah, kind of stimulus and vaccine are kind of the two big tailwinds for the market as a whole right now. You know, securing you know, this basically we had a study that was done. I want to say it was Morgan Stanley. Yes, it was Morgan Stanley. And essentially, you know, they think that 75% of U.S. adults will be covered by midsummer, which is, I mean, seems pretty, you know, it seems pretty in line with what we would have thought, you know, 6 months ago, or kind of some of those numbers in reality. I know it's been kind of a rocky start, but I guess maybe they expect it to be a fast finish. You know, but from that perspective, looks like, you know, they expect 300 million doses by the end of May. You know, in terms of having them in hand, but, you know, getting that 75%
into the arms, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, getting there. Right now, we're getting about 1.5 million shots, I think, a day, which means, you know, basically we need to be by mid March, we need to be about 2.5 million doses a day. So that's in terms of delivery. So they'll, you know, I think that's, you know, positive, certainly some positive news going forward in terms of production. You know, Merck and a couple of other, I think Teva, are actually going to actually help in the production side. So it's not, so they didn't have to actually come up with a vaccine, right? We need to make something.
It's kind of an all hands on deck.
So that's interesting. You know, the 100 million of those doses are going to be for Moderna. I don't know if that's just because they, kind of have that first mover advantage, or if it's, I look at this in terms of them purchasing them. To me, it's the harder one to make, right? Because you've got the mRNA. But I wonder if in terms of effectiveness, if they're thinking in terms of some of the variants going forward, if it makes sense to go the Moderna route. But we'll that's one of the kind of executive orders out of the administration yesterday, and we'll get into another one involving the semiconductors and get into Disney earnings when we come back. Best stocks now. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Hour with your hosts, Barry Kite and Paul Carlson, standing in for Bill today. You there with us, Paul?
Yes.
All right. Great. Yeah, looks like the markets kind of took a little bit of a dive in the break. We're down below 14,000 for the NASDAQ, at sitting right at about 13,990. It's down about,
because you weren't ready to hear 14,000.
Yeah, right. I mean, it didn't roll off the tongue easily. So we'll see. I'll do some practice here in a little while. We'll see what we get back to.
But we're kind of unchanged at the firm, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty. That's what I looked at too. I think it's about 8 basis points. So we're on the downside. So it's pretty flat day. I mean, I expect volumes to kind of be pretty thin and going into the 3-day weekend. So we've got
President's Day
on Monday. So you've got, which actually makes sense. I was thinking, makes sense how, Europe is pretty flat when you've got the two biggest economies in the world, right? In terms of single countries, their markets will be closed on Monday. So probably not just close them around the globe. Everybody take a day off.
Pretty much.
Right.
Right.
So, yep. Of course, new administration's busy. Another piece of news that they had out yesterday, which is actually very positive. So for a lot of names we own, is in the semiconductor industry. Our portfolios continue to benefit from the supply and demand mismatch in the chip market. We've written about it a good bit, and a lot of those names we own are up and down. All the portfolio offerings, whether it's AMD or Qualcomm or Taiwan Semi, right, in the larger cap portfolios, or UMC, ASX, some of those test equipment makers, be Kohu, COHU, they're smaller companies that are going to be more represented in the ultra growth and emerging growth portfolios. But the same mindset is with the supply and demand mismatch. You've got, whether it's 5G, whether it's, Wi-Fi 6, we've got, electric vehicles, a lot of that was in the news right this week in terms of, shortage of chips, which is going to, actually
affecting auto production. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it could be over 100 chips in one car.
Yeah, and it was 60. I think it was 61, about 61 billion. Just estimating about $61 billion in sales that will, either be lost or delayed. A good portion will be, just pushed back, right? But it's a good bit of revenue, and it's a problem across the board. Essentially Biden's plan, is an executive order to kind of secure some of those supply chains, right? We've got, in terms of tension with, Taiwan, as Bill's made, a lot of folks aware, if they weren't already, obviously, has a majority of the foundries of the world in terms of semiconducting, computer chip technology. They're actually building a plans to build a plant in Arizona. There's some, some chip makers in Texas, that are moving there. It's a good, to me, it's a good idea in terms of, whether it's, under the, veil of national security or, or we needed to make some electric vehicles, right? Whichever those are, right?
Or both.
And COVID's made it, made it apparent, whether it's, toilet paper or anything else, right? Or computer chips. Securing supply chains, right? And integrating them. Much more, even if it's, a little bit more costly to do so, it's basically essentially like paying insurance, right? So you're reducing, your risk management, in terms of shortages, right? And that's what we should do. We should attract, chip makers, especially knowing that those are going to be, the key inputs going forward, which is, a lot of the investment thesis around, the reason we own, a lot of those names that we own in the first place. Yesterday, pretty much across the board, a lot of chip makers, were up, I think Taiwan Semiconductor's up 3.5%, UMC, I think, was up over 5%, AMD was up on the day. So there's a, it's going to create.
UMC's up again today, another percent. It's at 1070.
And they're a smaller name, and so obviously they have even more exponential potential for growth versus a Taiwan Semi that's probably larger than a lot of the rest of the chip manufacturers combined in terms of number of foundries. I think that's a good policy. It just depends on how you get there and implement it, right? But overall, I think it's something we're going to have to do because your Chinese automakers were just getting done riding with NIO. They actually right now they can't sell some of their chip makers can't sell their chips to us anyway, right? And so they're actually able to, whether it's through planned economic expansion and communism, right? In order you can dictate in terms of what you want made and who you want it to go to. A company like NIO has, probably a much better looking supply chain in terms of risk than even a Tesla, right? Or someone who, or GM, for instance, right? I think they were one of the big names that said how much shortage they're going to have.
So in reality, some of the
Chinese electric automakers, will have, potential more access. A lot of times they do double orders, right? Because they can float. They have the ability to float some of those chips for longer via government intervention, and so it's something that we need to do in terms of just securing that supply chain. And it's a dirty business in terms of foundries, so it's not the certainly not the easiest business just to pick up and start, but it's certainly something that needs to be that we need to secure going forward. So that was kind of one of the more interesting stories and kind of impacts, right? Impacts our portfolios a great deal. Good news is this, in this particular instance, it's in a positive manner. So.
Correct. Yeah, that's good.
But
for us.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's, it'll be, it's, I think looking at, some of these electric vehicles and just some of these technology, tech heavy firms, going forward, unless they're software based, which then it doesn't matter, but, it's not just about growth. Think of Peloton, right? Everyone wants one. It's just they can't get you one, at this point in time, as quickly as, the market wants. So you're going to lose sales along the way. So, all that kind of ties together and supply and demand mismatch, right? Econ 101. So, well, when we're done with the first half of the Best Stocks Now Hour, and we'll return for the second half and see what other subjects we can run through. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Hour. With your host, I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management. And we also have our bond guru, Paul Carlson, on the line.
It's awfully generous, but yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, it's you have the toughest job at the firm in terms of navigating that market. So
interest rates, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's anytime
not just
you have
that, but credit quality too. Yeah.
Right, and it's hard to right now. You've got some of that credit quality propped up.
By the Fed.
To a certain extent, right? And then also you had interest rates, pushed down. And so in terms of, sometimes it's hard to tell what you're, what you're owning out there. So that's where, I think that's where you come in terms of, knowing the way we're screening for those.
Well,
bonds.
Just like Bill, with the unique proprietary method of screening. And we use that same logic for, choosing our bonds. So, it does help take the emotion out of it, just like on the equity side. So, it's been working out quite nicely for us. And you can read about that in the newsletter. We're going to have the new issue tomorrow. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, take a free trial if you like, and see the full newsletter there. It'll have our portfolios. It'll kind of recap the week in terms of the news and go over those charts and different sectors and so forth. So
lots of information. Dive right in wherever you pick a spot in the newsletter, and there's plenty to read there. In terms of earnings news, pretty much the dominant news of the day has been was Disney's earnings coming out after the close of yesterday. Of course, the big part of Disney is normally they used to get a lot of questions in terms of the parks, ESPN, that type of thing. Earnings call kind of has gone much more towards the Disney Plus part of the conversation, and in terms of the Q&A at the end of the call. Although this go round. They actually had a good bit of questions along the normal business line, right? Whether it's the parks or the movie section. So it is really kind of an interesting report to read. It's almost like reading Netflix, Comcast, and Six Flags
combined
all together, yep. Right? And throw an AMC in there, right? And so there's just so many different aspects here to kind of dive into. But in terms of the streaming aspect, right there, I think when they first announced the streaming, they're estimating getting to 60 to 90 million subscribers by 2024. And so they already
topped that figure.
Yeah,
only 2021.
They had 94 million, 94.9, so I guess close to 95 million. Let's call it 95 million. Consensus, at this point was 90.7. So they're, blowing it out of the water in terms of expectations of paying, what they refer to as paying subscribers, right? Of course, the trick is how to, the other thing is they were expecting to get there by 2024, so they now forecast getting to 260 million by 2024. So they also increased that forecast. So as Bill talks, mentions, tells all the time, right? It's, stock market's expectations, right? What's the expectations going forward? So that's a big
earnings.
That's one of
earnings.
Yeah, yeah. And expectations going forward, and so it's now it's a kind of an expectations reset ever since ever since the earnings report back in the November 12th earnings report when they released the stock's up 40% since then, right? And it's it's not on the back of the parks or anything else. It's on the back of the streaming aspect, whether it's ESPN Plus, right? Whether it's Disney Plus. They also, the other side of the contrarian side of the coin is that the, some of the subscribers, what qualifies as a paying subscriber, right? And so they've got, some bundling that they've done, right, with Hulu, in Asia.
ESPN.
Yep. And they've done some, you know, they've done the same thing in Asia with a hot star. There's a, I think they have cricket also, which makes it a, you know, very, very popular, in India. And majority of those, you know, majority of those subscriptions are actually under a dollar, in terms of how it's calculated. But, you know, they're reaching eyeballs. And at some point, right, you're going to, it's kind of the cost of doing business to a certain extent. And then, you know, they're going, you know, at some point, hopefully,
well, you know, over
they
time,
would monetize that.
Yeah, over time, Netflix raised price, you know, a couple of times, haven't they?
Well, yeah, they just did. I think they just did recently.
Just another one.
I think it went up, I don't know, it was $1.99 or something on my bill. They're kind enough and send you an email first, at least, you know, your local cable company never did that, right?
I don't think so, no.
No, it just, you just get that surprise bill, like, whoa, wow. Okay. But, you know, in terms of the parks, right, Disney Paris, be closed for, you know, is going to be closed for the entire, second quarter. Looks like, they're hopeful that Hong Kong Disneyland, can reopen in the quarter, in the second quarter. And, you know, so they just, of course, the kind of, to me, from a COVID standpoint, the main, explanation to a, or best answer to a, from the CEO was the fact that, capacity will be determined by the rate of vaccinations of the public. And that's, that's the gating factor. So essentially, you know, looking at, we have a good, you know, we have a good data to look at, right? As they, you know, continue to tell us how many vaccinations we have. Well, you know, in this particular instance, it makes these, expectations. And when you're, you know, cranking out, valuations, well, you've got at least a good, anchor to kind of look at to kind of, you know, guide.
And speaking of, yeah, I think that, that was a new all-time high for Disney, wasn't it? Today at 194.
Yeah, I believe it was. I didn't look at the chart. But
I'm looking at it right now.
I'm almost positive.
And now it's down a little on the day, but it did move higher early to just under 194. We're at 189.72 now, down 0.5%.
Yeah. So
on Disney.
Yeah. So it's. It was one of those stocks that was almost bulletproof, right? Pre COVID. Except, you know, short of the ESPN piece, right? Because, you know, you've been that move to, streaming. But, you know, they had the, you know, ESPN had the live, you know, essentially live sports, which is the one, kind of the one, you know, holy grail that you can't, that's not worth streaming, right? Unless you're streaming it live. Otherwise, on demand for a live sporting event, you know, is not, watching it 2 days later, right? I mean, watching it an hour later, your family's going to let you know who won sometimes on accident anyway. It's certainly a unique business. Some of the other, you know, recovery pieces, you know, Paul and I like to kind of highlight, some of the, you know, looking at some of these names, you know, what are signs of recovery. We've got Southwest Airlines I guess they're looking to buy 300 new jets. On the surface, that sounds positive, right? That's a big expenditure there. So, you know, that's to me, that's a positive sign. On the other
Live
side,
Live Nation,
yeah, Live Nation. They're rising to 2.1%. They suspect that, you know, I guess concerts will come back, you know, live events in 2022. You know, back to kind of the original scale rate is what they're expecting.
Do they have a streaming component? Do you know?
I think they've been doing some of those, right?
Like a pay-per-view.
Yeah, and this kind of I mean, in reality, it's like watching a TV show. I mean, it's
sure.
You know, unfortunately, right?
Different.
I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, it's kind of like watching a NASCAR race on TV, right? Or being there. There's you know,
big difference.
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest differences in sports, I think, that I've experienced personally. But some other news. L'Oreal, they had some good comments. So, you know, they're expecting going forward, right? We're gonna, you know, the masks are gonna come off. So that's that was positive news. I watched a kind of a piece with the
increase
CEO,
the dividend too
yesterday.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, he said it's going to be the year of lipstick, So it makes sense, I guess. You know, you've been behind behind the mask for so long. So
the year of lipstick.
Yeah. So that's actually had, we didn't get to it last week, but I had a story on Estee Lauder that was they had some good good earnings, and so it was kind of along the same line. So we'll got to get creative here. So once in
last
a while,
quarter. Right? Coming up. Yep.
We'll be back with Best Stocks Now. Stick with us.
We'll have the stock of the day.
That's right. Welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. This is Barry Kipe, Gunderson Capital. Paul, we've got a story along the credit ratings line that we kind of wanted to get in before we get to our stock of the day.
Right, it's in the energy patch. S&P Global has lowered the credit ratings for ExxonMobil, Chevron, ConocoPhillips by one notch from AA. Down to AA minus from AA as part of a sector-wide report on the challenges posed by climate change. The rating agency warned earlier this year that oil explorers risk downgrades due to heavy levels of debt and the coming transition away from fossil fuels. Just to add my own thought here, I remember it was just maybe a couple of weeks ago, I think it was British Petroleum had started investing in electric vehicle, battery technology, that type of thing. But they continued from here. They said the downgrades reflect growing risks from energy transition due to climate change, carbon emissions, weak industry profitability, greater expected volatility in hydrocarbon fundamentals. Oh, and that also reminds me of the cut that was made by BP in their exploration, right? They went
right.
down from, what, 700 geologists down to, like, 100 or something?
Yeah, it was, or 70 to 70 or something. It was 700 to 70. It was some. It was a huge number.
Significant number, yeah.
And we've kind of, on our Friday show, has been kind of highlighting, just because it's been such a big news topic, especially for Bill and portfolio theme in terms of electric vehicles for the portfolios. But, just kind of, that's going to be a very tough transition. Surprise that, that it hadn't cut it before then, actually. I don't know when the last time they cut it was. But, another thing, Marathon Oil. Sort of
Marathon Oil, too. Sure,
yeah,
go ahead.
They trimmed 5% of, they're going to, trim off 5% of their global workforce. There's a, just a southern company, which is grew up in the panhandle of Florida, and in Destin, Florida area. Southern company was our power company at the time, and they're actually they're teaming up to do a hydrogen R&D effort. So that's just another example, right? Of a move.
And none of these are Best Stocks Now.
No. It's a. Bill talks about disruptive industries, right? That we're
right. You want to
be, a part of, right?
Disrupted.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is the disrupted group, right? And in trying to do what they can to pivot, as quickly as possible. But a lot of these deals are very capital intensive.
Long term,
power plant,
R&D,
right?
Exactly.
It's hard to build a power plant, 3 years ago and then turn around and be like, hey, we should have built it, we should have made it a hydrogen, whatever,
Like our nuclear plant that was $8 billion and we didn't get 1 kilowatt out of it.
That's another sore subject. But luckily that happened before I made it here. But of course, we're still paying for it. But
we're still paying for it. Yep.
Yeah. But in terms of, to kind of, a throwback name, right? For our stock of the day today is SQM. It's a Chilean miner, essentially, right? So we're kind of taking
fertilizer.
Taking it back to kind of taking it back to the old industry, right? In terms of agriculture and mining,
But Bill's been talking about this, you know, the secular trend here towards, you know, maybe higher inflation and.
Yeah, it's that commodity play. Of course, you know, as the dollar weakens, right, commodities increase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which sometimes, right, the dollar weakening could be inflationary as well. So there's a there's good reasons to own them. Also, you know, we own them in not only our dividend and growth, but also our premier growth portfolios.
Both of them.
So,
yeah.
So they pay a dividend, right? And
mm-hmm.
From that sense, they're up actually, you know, up 4.74% today. They're just a
56, almost 57, yeah.
Yeah, and from a business wise, right? They're they've got some they have a play on batteries as well, right? They're kind of in they're just in a pretty wide swath of of items that that they can mine out, right? We've got whether it's fertilizer, which is big as we know in terms of feeding population. You've got
industrial world, chemicals.
Yeah, and the world's food palette, right, is broadening. So you've got the you've got the need for growing more food faster, right, and in many different ways, whether indoors or outdoors. They're also tied into battery components, they even do aluminum smelting, right, and so in terms of aluminum, you've got. That's going to be a recovery piece, right? So, used to Greenspan who used to track aluminum, right? How much aluminum was in a new plane, and so he kind of got his start around that in terms of his input. But you look at this company, it's kind of it's no different than kind of the shortage on chips, right? There's
it's a function
of supply and demand, and it's a certainly a recovery play, but I also think it's unique because there's a there's the battery component is is non-correlated with the recovery.
Let's take a look at it in the app. So the Best Stocks Now app, you can go to Best Stocks Now. Best Stocks app.com, and you can. Take a look, kind of a sample, if you will. Otherwise, you can subscribe at GundersonCapital.com. But we have a five-year target price of 108.5. It's 56.75. Of course, there's no guarantee. And that's our formula that comes up with that number. It's the earnings estimates project that out. And five-year annual growth rate of 19%. And it gives us a five-year total return over 100%. It's got a value grade of A. It was ranked 86 a month ago. Right now it's 1802, but we're still very much interested in this name. So
yeah,
go ahead, Barry.
Got a beta of about basically 0.96. So it's actually little less risky than the overall market. So it's a good addition to Premier Growth, right, to help kind of bring down that overall growth bent or risk bent to that portfolio. So just a unique play, whether it's in the ground with battery technology, electric vehicles, we're trying to search the market out there as much as we can for the best stocks now. And we appreciate you listening, and you guys have a great 3-day weekend. Paul, enjoy it.
Thank you. You too.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.